Well, good morning. Welcome to Northridge Community Church. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet this morning, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm so glad that you're here to worship with us today. It's my hope and my prayer that you would experience the presence and the power of Jesus here this morning in a way that helps to transform your life, not just today, but throughout the rest of this week and from here on forward. Our purpose here at Northridge is connecting in community with Jesus and each other, and our passion is to help you connect into the life of the church in a way that can help you grow in your faith. And just a note on that, there are no perfect people here. We are all sinners on the same journey, and what it means is that all of us as sinners can connect into one body where we can be challenged to grow in our faith, and that's our hope. The first step in building community together and getting to know each other and being a part of the church is to fill out the connection card that's in your worship program. So if you're new here today, or maybe you've been attending for the last couple of weeks or months and you want to know more about Northridge, just fill out that connection card. Give us as much information as you're willing to give us, and then bring it back to the information table. We have a small gift for you. And then in the next week or so, I'll try to make a call and see if you have any questions about Northridge and what it means to connect into the life of the church here as well. Just one note, too, another opportunity to connect. We've been really promoting connect groups over the last few weeks. And if you're interested in being a part of a connect group, a community group, there is an informational meeting after the service today in the back. So you don't need to sign up for that. Just show up and we'll share with you ways that you can connect in different groups that you can connect in to be a part of the church here. Today we're starting a new message series called From This Day Forward. And we'll be looking at how to invest in and improve our marriage relationships. And as usual, outlines and binders are available. So if you didn't get one of those this morning and you're interested in that, they're also at the information table. And the messages and the outlines are also available on our website. So if you happen to miss a part of a message series and you want to catch up, you can go to our website and get that information there as well. I also want to take this opportunity to encourage you to be a part of a group that discusses the message that we talk about marriage the next 5 weeks. Tim and Brandy Schneckloth are going to be leading a discussion connect group on Thursday nights here in the loft at church. So if you're interested in learning more about how to grow a healthy marriage, please sign up for that or just show up. Now, I need to challenge you, because right now we have one couple signed up for that. And I know that there are more of you that could really benefit from joining a group like this to discuss marriage and what it means. Your marriage doesn't have to be a mess in order for you to get connected into that class. All of us struggle in our marriage and can use some good, solid community and truth to help us grow our marriage. So I want to challenge you. Get connected into that group to the next 5 weeks to help grow your marriage. Before we start today's message, I want to remind you of something. It's my passion to present to you the truth of God's Word with grace. Marriage relationships are difficult. I realize that myself. My marriage isn't perfect. It takes a lot of work. And to be honest, there are a lot of marriages that are really struggling, not only in our church, but in our community. I also realize that a lot of you have gone through a divorce. Maybe you're struggling really hard right now in your marriage. My intention is not to condemn you. Okay, that's not what the purpose of this message series is all about. It's about sharing the truth of God's Word so that if you apply these principles in your life and in your marriage, it will help your marriage relationship to be healthy and growing. So, as we dive into the next 5 weeks in this message series, I want you to seriously pray and ask the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and in your mind. Tell him how you feel. And tell him, look, God, I'm an open book. I just ask that you would help me to know and to learn, to understand show me the areas where I need to work on, and help me in this process as we go through this message series. We can't ignore that marriage is a problem in our culture, in our society today. Statistics show that 40% of the children born today are born to people who are not married. The divorce rate has doubled since 1960. Matter of fact, 50% of marriages today end in divorce. Those are scary statistics. And because of that, the impact of that, the effect of that, is our young people, our children, the young adults in our culture and our society today look at marriage and go, I don't want to have anything to do with that. There's got to be a different way. Bad experiences have led people to ask the question, is a good marriage, a healthy marriage, even possible? I want to answer that right off the bat by saying, absolutely, yes, it is. It is possible. But the only way it's possible is if you do it God's way. In other words, it's not likely if you do what everyone else in our culture and our society does today. If you want a healthy, growing marriage, you have to do it God's way. So in this message series, we want to restore the real beauty of marriage by sharing the way God created and intended it to be. Young people, I know that you're here and someday you hope to get married. These biblical principles that we're going to look at for the next 5 weeks are principles that you would be able to apply if you want to have a godly and healthy marriage. For those of you who are already married or maybe looking to get remarried, we're going to look at 5 commitments. That if you invest in these 5 commitments, I believe it will transform your marriage and help it to be healthy and growing. Even if you're not interested in the topic of marriage, as Christians, as believers, we still have an obligation to God to be able to share the truth about marriage with other people. We have an obligation to God to uphold the Christian biblical perspective of marriage, whether it's in conversations with other people or our children or whatever it might be. So today, we're going to start by encouraging you to seek God for your marriage. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness." And then what happens after that? Then all of these things that you need, that you want, will be added to you, will be given to you. Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Our priority in our marriage relationships needs to be seeking God and His righteousness. We're called to put God first in our life and in our marriage. To have a righteous marriage means to do the right thing. And that comes from having a priority of seeking God. In marriage, we know that storms will come. The Bible says that even though we're believers, it doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect. And even in our marriages, we know and recognize that storms are a reality. It happens because we're all broken and sinful people trying to have a good relationship together. Now, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. He says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise. They're like a person who builds a house on a rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on a rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash." If we want to have a healthy marriage relationship, we need to build it on the solid foundation of Jesus Christ and His truth. So today I want to share 3 foundational truths that we should seek God for in our marriage relationship. Here's 1. Seek God's desire for your marriage. God's desire for your marriage is that you keep your covenant promise to him and to your spouse forever. The marriage covenant is a forever thing. In Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9, some Pharisees came and tried to trap Jesus with this question. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for any reason? Jesus replied, haven't you read the scriptures? They record that from the beginning God made them male and female. And then he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one separate them. For God has joined them together. The two are united into one. That word united, we used to use the old English, the old King James Version was cleave. So in weddings, if you went to a wedding a long time ago, the word was to cleave. That word actually means to be glued together or welded together. The idea there is that once you become married, you become one flesh. You are joined together. It's a permanent bond that cannot be broken without causing severe damage. God's desire in marriage is that two people become one. They're bonded together forever. So the Bible teaches that God's desire for our marriages, that it would be a lifelong commitment to your spouse. So, here's part of the problem. In our culture today, they kind of look at marriage as a consumer contract instead of a covenant. A consumer relationship is one that lasts only as long as the vendor meets your needs at a cost that is acceptable to you. If another vendor comes along with a better service at a lower cost, you dump the first one and go with the new one because you think it will be more profitable for you. Which is okay when you're dealing with Verizon or Comcast or the Snap Fitness Center, but you're not. You're in a relationship with another person. It's an intimate, personal relationship. In a marriage relationship, a consumer contract is selfish. It says, I'm good with you, I'm committed to you, as long as things go good. But the minute I feel like things aren't good, I'm moving on to something that I think is better for me. You see, God's desire is not for us to treat our marriages like a contract with a vendor. God's desire for us is to honor the marriage covenant because we've made that covenant promise with God and with our spouse. Do you remember making those promises at your wedding ceremony? See, I don't know if you know this or not, but in that ceremony, you make promises to God and to your spouse. In the beginning, when you're facing the pastor or priest, they represent God. Not that there's anything special or holy about us, but there's a symbolism there that when you're facing the pastor, you're making a promise to God. You're saying that I will promise to stay connected to this person from this day forward. In the Bible, secondly, when you share your vows with each other, you face each other, and then you make a promise to each other. God's desire for us is to honor the marriage covenant that we made with Him and with our spouse. In the Bible, there's two kinds of covenants. There's a horizontal covenant between two people or two nations that make a promise together. And there's what is called a vertical covenant. And that's where we see people making a promise to God or nations making a promise to God. Here's the incredible uniqueness about marriage. Marriage is not just a horizontal covenant. It's not just a vertical covenant. It's both. It is the only relationship covenant that is horizontal and vertical because you make a promise to God and to your spouse. So the covenant that we share in our marriage ceremony is between God and our spouse. And we promise to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health until death do us part. God's covenant promise is forever. Now imagine an A-frame structure where two sides of the home meet at the top and they actually function to hold one another up, right? So if they're leaning like this together, they're actually holding one another up. But at the bottom, at the very bottom, it's the foundation that holds up both sides. And that's the picture of marriage. Jesus is the foundation who holds up both sides, and they hold each other up together. And that's how marriage is supposed to work. The covenant with and before God strengthens the partners to make the covenant with each other. Here's something that we don't think about, is when we break our marriage covenant, we actually break our promise with God. Jesus says, let no one break the covenant that God has made. Notice that he doesn't say, let no one break the covenant that they have made. Because God is in the middle of this. Let no one break the covenant that God has made. So when you make a promise to God to stay connected forever to your spouse, you've made that promise with God and with your spouse. Jesus confirms that covenant by quoting Genesis 2, verse 24. He also goes on in that section to say that the marriage covenant can only be broken when serious conditions exist because of our sinfulness. If there's adultery or abuse or abandonment, he gives permission for there to be divorce. But otherwise, and even in those conditions, what Jesus says is marriage is a covenant. It's a promise that's supposed to last forever. So seek God's desire for your marriage. Take seriously the covenant promise you made with your spouse and make it last from this day forward. Secondly, seek God's secret for your marriage. So we just looked at Matthew 19 where Jesus quotes Genesis 2:24, and then Paul does the very same thing in Ephesians 5, verses 31 to 33. He says this, as the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Okay, we just read that. It's Genesis 2:24. And he goes on to say, this is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. Again, marriage relationship is one where we are united, we're glued together, we're welded together, we become one flesh. Paul goes on to say, now this is a great mystery. Wow, Paul, tell us something we don't know. Marriage is a mystery, isn't it? Have you ever gotten to the point in your marriage where you go, man, what's the answer to this thing? What's the secret? I don't get this. Is there some special formula to make this thing work? I know we all felt that way sometimes and feel that the answer is elusive. That word mystery in the Greek language has a large range of options for meanings, one of which is actually the word secret. So Paul is actually sharing the secret. Now, the biblical idea here of secret is not some sort of insider information or obscure knowledge that only a few people have and they're not willing to share. What Paul is trying to say here is the secret is a wondrous truth that God is willing to share with us to reveal to us through the Holy Spirit. Paul is saying, I know the secret to the covenant idea of an eternal, healthy marriage relationship. He says, the secret of marriage relationship is that of like a picture of Jesus' relationship with the church. We are the church family. You and I are family members. We are spiritual family. We make up the church. If you read a few verses earlier in Ephesians 5, it talks about how Jesus loved the church so much that he sacrificed his life for it. He died for the church. He died for you and I because we are the church. And through that sacrifice, the church was made holy and blameless so he could present her to himself as a radiant bride. You want to know the secret to a healthy and happy marriage, relationship? Sacrifice yourself for the good of your relationship. Sacrifice yourself for your spouse. The secret is mutual fulfillment through mutual sacrifice. The secret is countercultural, isn't it? It's the exact opposite of what the world tells us. The world tells us a happy marriage is a me-centered marriage. It means finding a marriage partner who will meet my needs. Finding a marriage partner who helps me achieve my goals. Finding a marriage partner who will enhance my life experience. And if my spouse doesn't continue to make me feel happy, then something must be wrong and a change must be made. That's an incredibly selfish approach. Paul says the secret to a healthy, godly marriage is to make it a reflection of Jesus and the church. In other words, to make it a reflection of the gospel, the good news. And here's the good news of the gospel, that we are more sinfully flawed than we will ever know. And at the same time, we are more unconditionally loved and accepted than we would ever hope for. Look at it this way. Jesus endured pain and suffering in order to achieve the wonderful gift of an eternally restored relationship with God the Father. So our marriage relationship needs to reflect that as well. Marriage was ordained by God to be a reflection of His sacrificial love for us. In other words, God ordained and created marriage to be a reflection of Himself to the world. So in our marriage relationships, we are called to reflect the gospel, the good news. And the way that we do that is by sacrificing ourselves, our sinful, selfish nature, what we want most out of the marriage relationship, for the good of our spouse in order to serve them, to bless them. Our marriage relationships reflect the gospel when we balance truth and grace in our relationship. The marriage relationship ought to be one where you can share truth with each other. In other words, where you can say, hey, this is where I fall short. This is where you fall short. And give the grace to forgive and to love unconditionally despite our sinfulness, despite our mistakes, despite our brokenness. In other words, the good news of the gospel and what Jesus did for us ought to so fill our hearts with incredible love for Him and love for our spouse, that it will enable us to understand and deal with our difficulties. If we would simply communicate and deal with our problems, we would have healthy relationships and healthy marriages. How do you do that? Again, you speak the truth in love. Identify the problems. Acknowledge it as a problem. Resolve it together and continue to love each other through it by coming to a solution together. So the biblical essence of marriage is to make a sacrificial commitment for the good of the other person. Now here's the key to this, okay? In order to do that, you need to understand that real, authentic love is an action, not a feeling. Don't base your marriage on your feelings. Do the right thing. Love each other despite how you feel. Love is an action. It's not dependent on your feelings. If our definition and expectation of love is based on our feelings more than unselfish actions, it will cripple our ability to maintain and grow a strong relationship. The result of that is if you stress love, the different result, if you do it God's way, if you stress love through sacrificial actions over how you feel, actually works the way that you don't expect it to. So if you stress love and sacrificial actions over the way you feel, it begins to change the way you feel and gives you the feeling that you were hoping for in the first place. And that's the secret to marriage. Actions of love lead to feelings of love. Think about it this way. You think Jesus really wanted to die on the cross? In the garden, Jesus was praying that God would take it away. So much so that he was sweating drops of blood. He didn't feel like doing it, but he did it anyway. Because it's the action of love that shows love. And once you continue those actions of love, the feelings of love will come around. Jesus' love was unconditional. He made the commitment to go to the cross. He went through it despite his feelings. And our potential to accept it and receive it as a gift because he loves us. The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus loved us unconditionally. And our marriages are called to reflect that. So that's the second challenge, is seek God's secret for your marriage. Sacrifice your own desires to show real, authentic love to your spouse, and you will be fulfilled yourself. Here's the third one. Seek God's power for your marriage. Seek God's power for your marriage. We mentioned briefly that one of the purposes that God designed marriage was for our relationship to reflect and honor Him, to glorify God, to show the world what sacrificial and unconditional love looks like. Now, God didn't design marriage that way and then say, okay, have fun trying to do that. No. God designed it in a way and said, look, this is what I want for your marriage. I want it to honor me. I want it to glorify me. But I'm willing to give you help through my Holy Spirit to make that happen. In Colossians 2:19, it says, we grow only as we get our nourishment and strength from God. We grow personally and we grow in our marriage relationship when we get our nourishment and strength from God. So remember the picture of the A-frame I mentioned before with God as the foundation and each side meeting at the top? It forms a triangular type of shape. Again, God needs to be the foundational aspect of your marriage because that's where your power, that's where your strength comes from. That's where the solid foundation helps in the midst of storms in your marriage. What is your marriage relationship built on? Jesus says, build it on the rock, the solid truth that He gives to us. So if we want to have a healthy, growing marriage, we need to seek God's power together as a married couple. Here's the challenge. The way we seek God's power together is by worshiping together, by serving together, by reading God's Word together, and praying together. Now, let me be honest with you. I know that worshiping together and serving together with my spouse is a pretty easy thing to do. There's not a lot of interaction that goes on in that, and it's fun to be able to worship and to serve together. The difficulty comes when we talk about reading the Bible and praying together, because it's more intimate. It's one-on-one. There's more discussion. There's more questions. And it's harder to do. It fills me with fear. I'm a pastor. Let me be honest and vulnerable with you. How many times do you pray with your spouse? How many times do you read the Bible with your spouse? It's really not that prevalent in my life. It's way easier to do my own devotions on my own and let Nancy do her own thing. So I'm here today to tell you it's not easy. I recognize that. It's really, really hard, even for me. So this is what I'm going to do. I want to challenge you, but I can't challenge you without challenging myself. So I'm going to make a commitment for the next 33 days to read the Bible and pray with my wife. We're going to do if you go to YouVersion, there's a Bible reading plan specifically designed from this day forward in this message series that we're doing. And we're going to commit to doing that together. And I want to challenge you to do that as well, because they say this. Good habits are developed over, if you do the same thing repetitious over 30 days, it will become a habit. So I want to challenge you to try it, to go for it. As awkward as it feels, to just invest in it. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God makes this promise to us. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Man, our community, our land needs healing. Marriages are a mess in our community. If we really want to see healing happen, it starts with prayer. We need to humble ourselves again and begin to seek God together in prayer. So let's do it. Let's seek God's power to transform our marriage by investing in reading His Word and praying together. So that's the foundational aspect of investing in your marriage. Let's promise together that from this day forward, we will seek God's desire to make our marriage relationship last forever. From this day forward, let's seek His secret and willingly sacrifice our selfishness for the good of our marriage. And that from this day forward, we will seek His power for our marriages by investing in reading God's Word and praying together. There's a little voice inside of you right now. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And He's saying, you ought to try this. It would be good for you. And in our sinful nature, there's a tendency to say, I don't have time for that. It's not really worth it. Or, man, that's awful scary. I don't know if I can do that. Let me promise you something. If God asks us to do something like that, if we overcome our fear by faith and take the risk and take the step, God will do incredible things. He says, I will do more than you could ever ask or imagine if you trust in me. My challenge for you today is, why not go for it? Give it a try. Let's do this together and see what God does in our marriages, in our church, and in our community. Let's pray together. Lord, we see your incredibly beautiful design for marriage, but it's being corrupted in our world today. Oh, God, we confess that we've lost our way. We've become selfish in our desires, that we've made a marriage relationship more about ourselves than other people. Forgive us, we pray, and heal us. I pray for those today, Lord, who are seeking to do your will and looking for someone to marry for the first time, or maybe someone who's looking again. I pray that you would fill them with wisdom from your word. I pray that you would fill them with courage to do the right thing that would honor you and glorify you in this relationship. Lord, for those who are currently struggling, we pray that you would fill them with hope. Fill them with the strength that you provide to do the right thing to honor you. Lord, for those of us who have gone through difficult relationships in the past, we pray for healing, we pray for forgiveness, and we pray for the ability to trust in your unconditional love for us. And for all of us, Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage to balance our relationships with grace and truth. Help us to seek you first and your righteousness, to trust you to provide for our needs. Lord, we're so incredibly grateful and thankful that you made the marriage commitment with us and your church. Today we renew our vows with you. We acknowledge our sinfulness and we promise to love you and remain faithful to you from this day forward. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.